Hey there. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Barker. How you doing? It's your wallet's favorite show. Let's get a little better with money in the next hour. What do you say? We're going to do the numbers coming up in just a second. If you want to look at the exact same charts and graphs I will be referencing during that segment, go ahead and download the Winning It Life app, or open the Winning It Life app would be a better answer. Or you go to winningitlife.com. Kind of getting rolled into this idea of looking at side gigs. Not because I really need a whole lot of extra money, and definitely not because I have all kinds of free time. But it just seems so easy, and it seems like for such little effort, you can get a little side gig going and bring in some extra money. And I want to do it for partially for a reason that I hear Gregory recommended to callers all the time. I have some debt, and I'm trying to pay off all these credit cards, and 2018 was going to be the year. I tackled it, and I did it. I had 3 credit cards at the beginning of the year. I still have 3 credit cards. I'm not doing so well. I'm paying. I'm doing what I can. I had to miss a couple months. A couple unexpected expenses came up. But, you know, when I hear Gregory say this to other people, you know, one of the great examples we have is Maggie over in Gulfport. And she was sort of in a similar situation trying to pay off some debt and get on her feet and, you know, get out from under some credit card bills. It's just a drag. It's just a financial headwind every month. Gregory's final conclusion was, Maggie, you're just going to have to find a way to bring in just a little bit more income. And she did. There was a couple of follow-ups since then, and she did great. The number one thing I'm thinking about doing, just to let you know, is I'm thinking about doing Uber, but just on Saturday night. I can't be doing it, you know, on normal evenings because I got to do this. And then, you know, during the day, you know, a lot of times I'm wrapped up going to an office or going on a sales call or trying to fix a studio or going to pick up some new gear. Or, you know, my days are pretty full as well. On top of that, I have kiddos. So with a wife and 4 kids, any free time I do have while the sun's up, it's going to be filled up with something pretty quick. But Saturday nights, kids go to bed around 9. Maybe we let them stay up a little bit later. But Uber's just kicking in. And the second reason I want to do it is because, really, I just think it would be a hoot. I know when I'm taking Uber on a Saturday night, I'm having a good old time and I have a couple of friends with me. And, you know, we're telling tales. And I think what this guy in the front seat must see. So you talk to him, and I've started this regular line of questions for the Uber drivers of my life, which, you know, they're kind of few and far between, so it's still a special occasion when I do a ride share. Where are you from? How long have you lived here? How long you been doing Uber? But then after I break the ice, it gets to, what's the craziest thing you've seen while driving Uber? What's the craziest story you have? What's the most bizarre pickup you've ever had? The most bizarre passenger you've ever had? And these people will fill your heads with some excellent stories. So as someone who, I'm kind of the opposite of my wife, I love people and I love meeting new people and I love being in crowds and social situations. And I would rather go to a party where it's crowded, where you're knocking elbows. And my wife would rather go to a party where there's just a few quaint, close friends having some great conversation. You know, but I love people and I love the diversity that you would see in an Uber situation. And I don't mean diversity like the political type. I just mean that the different aspects of humanity that you would be exposed to that you wouldn't normally see. I love that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm thinking about. It's for a good cause. It's to pay down that debt. I can do it one day a week. You know, it used to be that there weren't a whole lot of little side projects or side gigs where you can kind of decide on a whim, I'm going to turn it on now and I'm going to turn it off when I choose. You know, if you had a side job where, you know, okay, well, I've got to work at, you know, I'm going to go work at the restaurant, waiting tables or slinging drinks at a bar or, you know, some other job on a Saturday night where you can make a few extra bucks. You don't get to just decide when you do and don't show up like you can with Uber. It's that flexibility that makes it possible for me. And it makes it possible for a lot of other people. But just how cool would it be to hear all those stories, too? And all the people who may have had like a whole beer, maybe even a beer and a half, getting in your cab and their inhibitions are down and they start telling stories. I just think that would be great. But there's something else that's so flexible and so malleable and easy to do that it looks pretty appealing as well. And that is a YouTube channel. Well, we have a YouTube channel for the show, but we don't monetize it. We don't want to throw ads in front of this stuff you see on the Winning It Life YouTube channel. We've got, you know, 100 50 or so videos. And, you know, we want to streamline that and make it as easy as possible on you. But I have a friend whose husband, she married a guy who is a helicopter pilot for the Army. And he has a lot of stuff in his head, a lot of this training in his head that he's made some great little tutorials for. And I don't know what this stuff means, you know, how to properly use the rudder on a downdraft or something. I don't know. But it's this really heady helicopter stuff that only really he and a few subset of people not only know but would even be interested in. However, with YouTube, you can reach all of them and monetize it that way. And these people who have no other resource to go to will find you, and you can monetize it that way. Don't give up. Don't think it's that hard. Get that side gig. Don't be lazy. Do what's right. You know, and for a lot of people in my situation, you know, you're thinking about this, but I know there's some people out there who are about 55, 57 years old, and you're so far behind on saving for retirement. Like, you just got started, and the amount you have now isn't going to cut it. And if you go at this pace, that's not going to cut it. You're going to have to come up with some extra money somewhere. You're thinking side gigs, huh? Side gigs. It used to be, see, I think the cool thing to do is the comparison. What would be the comparison for Uber in 2018? What would that be 20 years ago or 30 years ago? Would that be, yeah, you were just a cabbie on Saturday night. But it's not the same, is it? It's not the same flexibility. You're on a schedule. They tell you when you work. They tell you when you get off sometimes. And as far as the YouTube stuff goes, what would be the comparison to that? If you had some cool information in your head, you wrote your own book and you self-published it, and then you tried to get it in bookstores, and then you tried to do a publicity tour and try to get interviews on radio shows and TV shows to push your book. I mean, that's so much harder than coming up with a YouTube channel, just coming up with some tutorials about something you know that other people would be interested in, and they can all find you because they're all going to YouTube anyway. Now, the easiest one is if you've already had a successful career and you're starting to taper that down into retirement. That's the ultimate side gig. This word keeps being tossed around, and it means everything and nothing at the same time. It's called consulting, right? How many people have you met? Hey, so one of my good friends back in Dallas, JC, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a consultant. Okay, fine. Don't tell me. When you try and whittle it down, I just remember because this was like my ground zero for consultant conversations. This is kind of when it started about 12 or so years ago. Okay, so what do you consult? What do you do? He goes, well, for businesses. Okay, fine. Don't tell me then. Okay, what do you consult for business? Well, when they have questions, you know, they're doing some business ventures, and it's something I've done in the past, and they need my expertise. They call me, and I do a little research, and I get back to them with their report. It sounds so vague, but that's the good thing about it. That could be what you did. It could be like what my father-in-law did. You know, he's an architect still, but if he wants to half retire, and some of the architects that were under him, if they come across an impasse, they can call him. Can you help us with this? Or do you know a guy in the zoning commission? Or can you get us through this paperwork? Or do you know a shortcut? Or do you know anyone in this county? You know, consulting sounds like the ultimate gig economy, and people are putting up with it because the telecommunications between you working from your home and from your office is so much more seamless than it was 30 years ago. It didn't even exist. 20 years ago, it was a mess, but it could be done. 10 years ago, it's pretty good. Now it's awesome. Now it's almost preferable. Now, seriously, we're seeing employers who want to expand their business, but they don't have room. They don't have offices. So what are they going to do? Are they going to go take on the extra expense, or God forbid, even take on some debt to expand their offices so they can hire some people? Or are they going to let them work from home? The opportunities out there are multiplying by the day. These little doodads, these gadgets, these screens, you know, the computer, the laptop, the tablet, the phone. You have so many opportunities now that you didn't have even 10 years ago. Start looking. Some of these other side gigs, though, this isn't so easy. They like to put these things in these articles and these columns to make it seem like, yeah, you can just go out there and you can start doing web development. Well, no, you need to know a little something. You know, it really helps if you do some Photoshop, or if you have some coding background, or, you know, you need to have some design. You have to have some sort of experience. You just can't fall headfirst into that and get away with it. But don't be shy. Find something fun. That's part of it. Like the Saturday night Uber, I think I would look forward to that. I would, in some cases, in some ways, I would look forward to doing that job. I wouldn't look forward to it if Uber was my job every day, all day, every day. But it's just a brave new world out there, and it's great. And financially speaking, we have so many more options that I'm about to jump on it myself. You can tell I'm pretty excited about it, too. Here's some great news. Charitable giving in the United States, for the first time, tops $400 billion. $400 billion. That was just in 1 year. Actually, for 2017, it was more like $410 billion. So we didn't just creep over the new record. We blew the old record away. That is more than the gross domestic product of Ireland. But this this total was up 5.2% from 2016. You know, that's what happens this is a symptom of a wave of optimism that's not going to be reported on. It's not going to be heralded because the news just isn't focused that way. And I'm not picking on any channels here. You're just never going to turn on the news, whether it's WLOX out of Biloxi or it's WGNO out of New Orleans or CNN or Fox or any of these. They're never going to say, hey, so we got a report here. There were these two guys that went to work and they got along swimmingly today in the office. And Fred bought Tom lunch and because he owed him a favor, and they high-fived after that, and they really strengthened their friendship. That's not news. Good news isn't the same as bad news. We have a negativity bias, and rightfully so. But I'll be sure to circle back and start highlighting some more of these positive stories like we like to do on this show. Congrats to you if you were part of that great piece of America that gave over $400 billion to charity. You know, Jude Heath's going to be our guest this week, and he'll talk a little bit about that on tomorrow's show. I'm James Parker. Numbers next. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. They have a fun go-kart track, racing school, a 2.7-mile race course. And, yeah, there's crazy guys on motorcycles. Hang off a bike, scrape some knees in the turns. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com. Find out how to retire well with Gregory Ricks Live, a special experience pairing wine, wisdom, and food. Find out more about me and what makes me inspired to help you win with your money. I am an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Reserve your seat for Gregory Ricks Live, Tuesday, July 10th, 6:30 p.m. at Ruth's Chris in Metairie, 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
If you're looking for a little bit of help, maybe about that variable annuity, that A-share mutual fund, that K-1, you can go to the website, gregoryricks.com. You can use the app to connect with us. Also, you can email gregory@gregoryricks.com, and one of my team will respond as well.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10, News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Nobody does potatoes like we do. Spectacular tubers, a meal and a baked potato, and more. Enjoy our fresh ingredients, homemade sauces, and real cheeses. You'll love our ginormous crawfish tuber covered with etouffee sauce. Franchise opportunities available. Spectacular tubers, a meal and a baked potato, and more. Visit us at spectaculartubers.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
If you're dealing with somebody that just only handles fixed index annuities, you're probably dealing with a salesman, and that's all you're going to get there. Well, what about the rest of your money? Who's looking out for that and coordinating this? Or if you go to the stock and mutual fund guy, you're probably dealing with another version of a salesman, and you don't have somebody coordinating everything. And then, of course, your banker, you've got emergency money, short-term money there, and they're probably trying to stick you in a variable annuity. You need a fiduciary, somebody that can coordinate and look out for everything. That doesn't mean that fiduciary needs to handle the assets, but they might need to be good about giving you advice and looking out for you.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
Welcome to the Friday night edition of Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. This is the Daily Wrap. I am your co-host, James Parker. Your wallet's favorite show. Rocking through the end of another great week. Didn't end too good for the stock market, though. Let's go ahead and look at the numbers here.
the numbers.
Stay tuned, because after the numbers, you're going to hear the call from Bruce on Saturday's show, where he talked about having some rental property in an LLC, and then he was having some issues getting insurance, because they're like, you can't do homeowners insurance, you got to do landlord's insurance, what's that? Anyway, I'll play that coming up after the numbers segment. But there was some red out there. Don't get too excited. There were no records set today. Look, not a disaster. I don't want to freak you out here. But we've had so much positive news as of late. We had the NASDAQ this week set its 100th record since the election. But everything is red across the indices today. If you look at the short sheet here, you can see the Dow Jones was down a third of a point. S&P down a tenth of a percent. NASDAQ down 0.2%. And our small cap Russells, even though they've been setting records as well, took a little bit of a breather today, but they were just a hair under even. They were down less than a point, so they're still kind of up in that record-breaking territory. They just finished with a little bit of red on their milk mustache today. So that brings us to the commodities, where gold took a big fat nosedive. It started out, it opened up above 1,300 today, finished, I'm looking at after-hours number here just because it's continuing to have issues, $1,278.45 per ounce on the last trade. That's a pretty big drop in one day. That's, I don't want to say it's a monumental decline, but you don't often see $25 of movement on an ounce of gold in one day. But then you go look at oil and you see something similar to where it started out the trading day above almost at $67. It was at $66.95 when it opened today. And I'm looking at an after-hours number, $64.24. So it dropped almost 10% today. That was, a good five-point drop. What's going on out there? Well, think about it like this. Whenever you see gold and oil both take a big nosedive today, there's a good reason to believe that had something to do with the actual dollar and not necessarily the supply or demand of gold or oil as much as just the dollar kind of fell or strengthens up there. And that makes it tough on your commodities here. All right, let's get back to this segment from Saturday's show. It is absolutely excellent. We had some demand for people to repeat that.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Bruce in New Orleans, you're going to be first up. How can we help you, sir?
Great today. I purchased a home in an LLC, and when I went to get my insurance through Allstate, they were like, oh, because it's in an LLC and it's not in your name, they're not writing. And then they turned me to somebody else. And then I went through like three different companies. And the third company is like, we can't write a homeowner, but we can write a different policy. I want to know what's the difference. You know, why are they doing this? Years ago, they would give me a homeowner's policy.
Why did you put it in an LLC if it's your residence?
It's actually not my residence. It's just a house that I have, and I'm trying to get homeowners on. And if you can clarify, what's the difference between homeowners versus the other policy they're selling, the pros and cons.
Gosh, that's out of my reach.
It is?
In okay. Knowledge as far as that. Is that a rental property of yours?
Yeah, it's a little rental property, and they were saying because it's a rental property, they're not going to give you the homeowners like you would usually get. You call up, get the wind, fire, and everything, but they like redirecting you to some other type of policy. I have to really look into it. I thought maybe you knew a little bit about it.
Yeah, I don't. There's a firm I use that I run a lot of business insurance and stuff through. Such like that, and what they do is they represent a lot of companies. If you're probably going to your State Farms or Allstate, that's probably not going to help you there on that.
Right.
But you probably need to use a casualty firm that handles a lot of different types of insurance to help you on that, because you're really looking at more of the business side. If you have it in the LLC, which kind of tells me it's a rental property. If it's a personal residence, that you're wanting to do protection with, a trust could be one of those. And once again, before doing structuring, just like if you're using Wes Blanchard to do structuring, and he's going to talk about this in the second hour, is I would still, you know, just because you're talking to an attorney doesn't mean he's going to know all the insurance ins and outs. So you need to go do your due diligence once you get that advice, or if you're considering that, is then talk to your insurance people and see how your coverages are going to work. And basically what we're speaking of is property and casualty insurers there. And there's a difference between the ones that just run auto insurance, that, you know, there's a lot of those that their thing is auto insurance, not all these other business lines of insurance. And that's how I would go about that. And I don't have a particular name to give. Well, but go ahead.
I just wanted to say, you know, we appreciate your show and keep up the good work. You're giving a lot of good information for people in the city and throughout the areas that y'all reach.
Yeah, and that's, and what you mentioned too there, and that's probably what they're offering him is
the landlord
rental dwelling policy, landlord policies. It's not going to be the same coverage as like you as a homeowner there. And that's when somebody's renting a rental property to live in or to use, you don't have any coverage,
right,
for living there. So you're probably needing to go get renter's insurance to cover your property for any type of damage or theft or loss there. So there's both sides to that. And, yeah, I could see why they're not wanting to give you all the benefits of being a homeowner, because the risks, honestly, the risks are different. You have more coverage of everything as a homeowner when you think about it. But as a rental property, they're the exposures are somewhat different. So you're not needing all the cover because you're not living there. But as a rental property, renters rent it like they don't own it. There's a difference in how you take care of a property. Now, are all like that? No. Some really take great care of a property, but there's others that, you know, might leave in the middle of the night and pull the toilets out the floor and take what. I've heard of that happening there. A long time ago, I was told a story about this guy that rented a house, and basically he stripped the entire inside of the house and left. Like, man, as a property owner renting it out, yeah, see, that's a different type of exposure there.
That is so bizarre. Is there a secondhand market for used toilets? Because I don't know anyone.
I don't know, but yeah, like, that's almost being like vengeful.
It is, because it's not like you went to Lowe's and the toilets were too expensive, and so your friend's like, hey, I know a guy. All right, so, yeah, Bruce had asked about homeowners versus landlord insurance.
Yes, because he has a property in an LLC, and which signals to the insurers that you got a rental property. This isn't a residence, so there's more hoops to jump through. They're not, in that case, he couldn't go and get a regular homeowner's policy. But he's really using that property as a rental property. He doesn't want regular homeowners insurance. But with that said, there's no legal obligation for him to take out insurance. Now, if he has, say, a mortgage, they may require him to carry, you know, at least a landlord type of insurance. And what would that cover? It'd be covering, you know, damage to personal property due to fire, storm, theft, vandalism, and tenant damage. You know, the story I shared earlier, hearing about a guy that rented a house and stripped it, you know, toilets, light fixtures. I guess he left the sheetrock, but he just bolted. And ideally, your landlord insurance will cover replacement costs for your entire rental property in the event of a total loss. They may require flood insurance as well, carrying that. But as a landlord business owner on property, it value, you know, even if you wrote a check and bought that rental property that you're renting out, you probably want to cover some of that exposure as well, you know, because it's a problem if there's a flood that comes. All, you know, gosh, South Louisiana, South Mississippi, South Alabama, you know, I would carry that kind of stuff if it was me. But you don't, there's no requirement to do so. Now, what's also interesting, you could require your tenant to carry renter's insurance, which helps you on both sides there. Now, that I've never when I've rented properties in the past, I've never been required to carry renter's insurance, but it is still something you should do. You know, you hear apartment buildings catching fire, properties getting flooded. You know, you've got a problem, plus you're still on the lease. I don't think they let you out of the lease for things happening in most cases. So that's some of the stuff to consider when doing so.
All right, we're back live now. Hey, coming up, our next live event, Gregory Ricks Live, July 10th. That is a Tuesday, so it's the Tuesday after July 4th. July 4th is on a Wednesday, the next Tuesday. This one's open, though. We've had a couple of women-only events this year, but this one is for men and women. You know, couples, we encourage you to come together. You know, those who save together, stay together. It's not a real thing. I just made that up. But the Gregory Ricks Live is real. We're doing the wine tasting this time, so it's a little bit of wine, a little bit of wisdom, some awesome food. It's at Ruth's Chris in Metairie, so RSVP. We're starting to fill up already. Go to GregoryRicks.com or call the office. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
If you've been listening to Winning at Life for a while now, you probably already know that estate planning is more than just a will. You may need a trust. You definitely need both of your powers of attorney. So what's your plan? Hi, I'm Wes Blanchard, an estate planning attorney of offices in Metairie. Listen, don't leave your loved ones in a bind. Call me and we'll make you a plan or update your existing plan. Find me at wjblanchardlaw.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
And I can give you those red flags if I see something going wrong or something that you're not aware of that others that kind of dabble in this business, so to speak, don't really know all facets and details.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks & Associates, 504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com.
There's more to winning at life than making a bunch of money. It's also about finding something you love doing. Gregory Ricks here. For me, I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
If you like money, you will love the Winning at Life app. If you want to call the show or text Winning at Life right now, get the app. If you need to contact Gregory's office or any of the Total Wealth Authority, it's on the app. If you would like to stream the show live or on podcast, that's on the app too. It's free. Just a one-time login is all it takes to join the Winning at Life Nation. The Winning at Life app, your wallet's favorite app.
Thanks for listening to Winning at Life. By doing so, you have joined an elite demographic of people who tend to be more successful in their careers, have higher levels of education, and are generally winners. James Parker here. Wouldn't you like to get the message out about your awesome business to tens of thousands of other winners 6 days a week from Baton Rouge to Pensacola? Be on the winning team. Ask me about advertising, reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email james@gregoryricks.com.
The contents on this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take the place of your attorney, accountant, doctor, football coach, plumber, plumber's plumber, your plumber's gardener, pizza delivery man, or your nosy mother-in-law. This show does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Grill. We got 24 tall boys on the chill. Yeah, 14 of them's mine.
Welcome. Happy Friday. It's the Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. You've stumbled into the Friday edition of your wallet's favorite show. Financial situations? Try the Winning at Life app. You know, maybe if you go to GregoryRicks.com or WinningAtLife.com, some resources there. I encourage you to go check out the show's blog, though. If you go into the blog section and click blog, it'll show you the latest post first. But in the right-hand margin is a list of categories. So if you have a situation, you're not quite sure what to do, and we're not talking about it immediately, chances are you can go find some answers or at least get some background info and some context on your story, because there's a pretty good chance we've dealt with it on the show before, and there's also a pretty good chance we've taken a clip or two or ten of that situation, and we've shared them out. So if you want to go hear what Gregory has advised other people when they call in with their 401k questions, you can go into the categories where it says 401k. You can click it. Boom. Here it pops up. There's a segment. There's a segment. There's a segment. There's a segment. There's actually six pages of segments on 401ks. Hey, that's a pretty popular topic. You might have guessed that one too. But it can get pretty hairy out there because there's some situations that I think we're the only person really covering these, like on required minimum distributions from your IRAs. You go click IRAs, and you can see we got 9 pages of segments, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 segments on a page. So we have 45 different segments, most of which are us answering calls from questions, or answering questions from callers, some of whom may be in your exact same situation. So go check that out. It's a great resource. I had to point someone at it after the show last night. They said, man, I just started listening. Y'all do some good stuff. Y'all should like cut this out and start like a university or something, like a little online tutoring facility. Hey, we're way ahead of you, bud. It's already there. It's waiting on you right now. I can tell you what we're going to be adding to it soon. What you just heard there from Bruce, that kicked off a whole cavalcade of calls and a whole segment for people with rental property. And rental property is something that comes up as on a regular basis on the show, because it is very popular for those looking to build different streams of income, to go buy the house next door or down the street, and you can either rent it out, or like I was talking about in the first segment, you have so many more flexible opportunities. You can Airbnb it. You can go get a beach house on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. I know it's super expensive, but you can go buy it out yourself, stay there whenever you want, and Airbnb it the rest of the time. And it's so simple and so flexible. So not only is this popular, we expect it to get even more popular, especially after Sidney Torres is giving out all this great tips and advice and guidance on his new show, The Deed, which season 2 started last week. And we're big fans over here on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Good to see you doing well, Mr. Torres. So let's look at that. Let's look at some other issues that happen when you have rental properties that we dealt with recently. Jane from Destrehan is soon going to be added to the online university we have at winningitlife.com. She called in on Saturday. Jane Destrehan, thank you very much for hanging on through the break there, Jane. How can we help you? You're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Yes.
Good morning. I have a question. When someone called in regarding having a home under the, as a landlord and a homeowner's policy, if you have a home that you're putting into a trust.
Yes.
Are you still eligible for homeowner's insurance?
Or absolutely. Absolutely you are.
Okay.
You absolutely are eligible for homeowner's insurance. Now, one thing about, have you done this yet?
It's in the process.
Okay. Now, you may want to go ahead and let your insurer know that you're doing this and see if they have any rules or obstacles in so doing. So
okay.
You don't find this out on the back end and they say, oh, we're not liking this. Or they'll give you guidance of how you're structuring and such. And
okay.
We had a caller earlier that was putting into an LLC and he was getting pushback, but that's more so because the property is going to be used most likely as a rental property is why you're doing that. But a lot of times homeowners are putting their property in a trust just to separate it from themselves for protection purposes, could be liability purposes.
Perfect. Great. I appreciate that because that's what prompted me to call when I heard about the gentleman with the LLC owning the home or the rent or the property, I should say. So,
yeah, he was clear. He's going to rent that property, but you're not renting your property. But if you do turn it into a rental property, that's once again, you want to go talk with your insurance people and make sure you have the right coverage for that.
I appreciate that. I enjoy your show and congratulations on your 8 years.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Jane.
Appreciate you listening and calling.
Oh, people are so nice. Now let's go to Mike in Slidell. He's also dabbled in the rental business, but he had a different issue, and he called Gregory. Mike Slidell, you're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. If you want to be after Mike, 504-260-0995. How can we help you, Mike?
Yeah, quick question. I'm over 50 and getting ready to retire soon, so I'm downsizing some houses. And with the profit from my house I just sold, I could pay off my townhome I've been using as a rental. So far I've been breaking about even and use it as a cost expense. But should I just pay it all off and get a income stream of about $2,000 a month, or should I keep it as a against the cost?
So what's the balance of the mortgage on it?
$110,000.
What's it worth?
And you're breaking even, but you would start netting about $2,000 a month?
Yeah, when you take in you know, the homeowners and the utilities I include in it, I kind of do it, I rent it for, and I pay everything. It just makes it easier to rent that way.
So you would net about $2,000 a month once paid off?
Paid off, yep.
Whew, I don't know where you can get a return like that on $110,000. Do you? That's a heck of a return. You're what? You're in the neighborhood of 22% return on that $110,000 if it's freeing up that cash flow.
Even with all the tax implications and everything else, it's still a good deal. That's why I'm talking to you, and I don't know.
Well, what's your tax exposure on that?
Right now, I'm in the 35% to 40% income. So right now, I don't get much for it. I'm delayed it. You know, once I sell it, then I can kind of get the depreciation and all that. So that's what I'm trying to figure out here. As I go into retirement, and I go from about 35 to 40% income down to probably a 15 to 20%. What makes the most sense?
Yeah, and look, you've got to look at this both ways. One of my take was James actually wanted to, well, what's the value of the property? You're talking about paying it off with money you've received from somewhere else. So I just simply wanted, what's the return on that money? And that's pretty good return. So what you've also got to look at it, considering the value of the property, but that comes to what is it renting for? And that's a number based on property value as well. The other is, okay, you need to run an analysis with consideration of tax deductions and breaks and see that where that nets you also. I wouldn't just take one take or one theory. I think it's the data. The numbers at the end is what tells you what to do. That's what I would be wanting to know to make that decision. And I wouldn't necessarily, well, I save this much in taxes. If it doesn't net me the most money, then I'm not wanting to do it that way. But you're not going to take that $110,000 and go invest it somewhere and get $2,000 a month from it. I'll tell you that. That's a hard number to beat when you look at it that way. So you can say, well, what could I possibly expect to get on it that's safe? Well, 3 to 5 over a 10-year period, depending on how interest rates move up. Risk may be a little bit more, but it's subject to risk as well. So it depends on your view, whatever your risk number is. Mike, that's the things I would be thinking about, but 22%, that's definitely one way to look at it.
And it sounds like a nice townhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not down on the coast and the water and all that. You know, one hurricane, that could be all over, but so far I've avoided all that.
Yeah, and hopefully for all of us, from here to Florida, even over to Tech on the coast, we just hope those things stay away for a long time. Thank you for listening to Winning at Life.
All right, we're back live now. Got a quick update here from a sad story in New York City. No, you're not going to get any jokes on this one. A man who won a big jackpot on a lottery ticket was fatally stabbed inside his apartment. Well, now, we don't normally do violent crime stories, but we're taking the financial angle on this. And what do we tell you? If you win the lottery or if you have a lot of money, keep your mouth shut. If you come into a big pile of money, trying to remain anonymous, when you accept the lottery, if you can, be anonymous. If you come into a pile of money, don't put on your Facebook page, oh, the Lord has blessed me, and you know, the light has shone down. Thank you so much for the great fortune from, you know, Uncle Gary or whatever. These things can have negative consequences, and privacy is a virtue when it comes to money. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
So folks listening, you come to me and you go, hey, I already got 5%. Well, mom and dad gave me 5%, but I still want to take advantage of, I want to go with CAFA. Put the 5% down and let's use the grant program to buy out your private mortgage insurance.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
If you're not at your old job, your 401k shouldn't be either. I don't want it to become forgotten money. My guidance would be is if you're going to take and roll that over and you're going to correlate it to risk, I think you should work with somebody loss adverse, meaning that they would rather get you to cash than writing down losses.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find out how to retire well with Gregory Ricks Live, a special experience pairing wine, wisdom, and food. Deciding when you turn on Social Security is a big decision. I'll guide you through that maze. I am an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Reserve your seat for Gregory Ricks Live, Tuesday, July 10th, 6:30 p.m. at Ruth's Chris in Metairie. 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
Two questions. Do you have a pulse? Do you own anything? If you said yes to both, you probably need a will. You may even need a trust. We all know a lawyer. Do you know someone who specializes in estate planning? Do you really trust the husband of your sister's friend from college? Or would you feel better putting your family in the hands of the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority? I'm Wes Blanchard. What's your plan? Offices in Metairie and at wjblanchardlaw.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
If I tie up all my money into an annuity now, I'm just not sure I feel comfortable with that.
I wouldn't be comfortable having you do that either. If you're using an indexed annuity, there is a time commitment for that money, so there is a surrender fee. But by no means should all your money go into that particular product. And then you've got to have income planning, emergency cash, and liquidity. And I hate it when I see somebody come in putting all their money into some variable annuities. There is no way I would allow that or do that. That's just exactly what you're referring to as tying up your money in all one financial tool. And we just would not do that or allow it.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
Hey there, happy Friday. How you doing? It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Sparker. How you doing? If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, and you think you require the services of more than just a radio show, Gregory Ricks and Associates is Gregory's day job. Gregory's a Hall of Fame financial advisor. And so if you're looking for someone to take your life's work and make it last as long as possible, someone who does this for a living and knows all kinds of tips and tricks and twists and turns and loopholes, and it's just great what this guy can do with your money. Gregory Ricks and Associates, 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com. In his absence, we like to play highlights where he is handing out such great advice. Let's do another one here. Marion, well, I got two audios going. I got to stop this real quick. In this one, this is going to be Mary in Houma, and she was having some issues on her annuity. How flexible is this thing, and what happens if you accelerate the payout? Marion Houma, how can we help you?
Hi, I have two quick questions. One is on an annuity. I will be collecting, I make 70.5 in September. If I were to want more than what I, you know, put as an income per month, can you draw more? You just have to pay taxes on it.
Now, when you say in an annuity, tell me a little bit more about that. So that's the thing.
My husband and I talked to someone. We thought it was a good thing that I would have an income after he passed. I mean, I hear good and bad. I'm not sure exactly. This is where you get a monthly income, supposedly until a certain age or till it runs out, depending on how long you live. So it has to create a certain thing.
Is it an annuity with an income rider?
Yes.
Is it a fixed annuity or a variable?
Oh, well, that I would have to find out.
Is it an IRA or not?
No, it's not an IRA. It's with an insurance company. Okay.
See, if you're using an income rider and go by the income rider, assuming that we're on the same page on that, the income rider typically is to guarantee a lifetime income based on a percentage withdrawal rate based upon your age and the base amount of what the annuity income rider value is. Now, if you're wanting to take more, you can take more, but it can affect the value of that income. And you're basically, instead of turning on the income from the income rider, you're just taking distributions at a larger amount that could deplete the annuity over a certain period of time, because you're taking a higher percentage than what the guaranteed lifetime income stream is. What I'd suggest is you need to look at both scenarios of how that would play out. There. How long have you had the annuity?
It's just a year.
Okay.
You had to wait a year. You couldn't do anything before. And then I'll be 70 and a half in September when I will start collecting the monthly percentage.
Okay. So this was set up a year ago for the purpose of doing this?
Right. Correct. Which and you have to start drawing at 70.
Who took it out, you or your husband?
Both of us.
Both? Yeah. Both are still living?
Yes.
Okay. And so it's a joint plan for both of you. Right. Okay. Yeah, I don't know any details. I find it hard that we did this for to turn it on in 1 year. I don't know. If it's an income rider, you're probably wanting to defer longer to take advantage of the roll-up on that. What I'd suggest, and, you know, all listeners, you've got a question needing a second opinion, Mary, call my office and let's have a little bit further conversation about this. So I don't want to give you a short answer here. We want to drill down a little bit more to make sure you're understanding what you have, and maybe we even do a joint call with the company and research this a little bit more so you have a good base understanding of what financial tool you have and how it works.
Okay. And I have one other quick question.
Okay.
Concerning Medicare. They started taking my premiums out at 65, which I enrolled, and they did it each month auto pay out of my checking. When I reached age 70, I did have a prior employment where I did have Social Security benefits, so I applied for them. Well, they owed me like a lump sum. They also took out the first 2 months twice. They took it out of my checking and they took it out of my lump sum. I called. They did pay me back for January. I'm still waiting. I don't know the recourse. I just keep talking to Medicare and say, where's my money?
Yeah, reach out to both Medicare and Social Security. They are kind of tied at the hip, especially on premium deduction. So I would continue to reach out to them and follow up on that status.
All right. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Sir, you have a wonderful day.
Thank you for calling, Mary.
Thank you for listening. My office number for my daytime job is 504-832-9200. And the website is gregoryricks.com.
All right, we're back live now. Some quick financial news in the waning minutes of the show. There's a little beginnings of a trade war actually happening. Before, it was just threats of a trade war. Like, well, you know, if you don't do this, then I'm going to do this. Or if you do this, then I'm going to do this. Well, now it's actually happening. Now the tariffs are actually hitting. And today, look, while we were out being busy, a lot got accomplished, kind of in a bad way. This morning, Donald Trump announced that the United States is going to levy a 25% tariff on about $50 billion worth of Chinese goods. And then he said on top of that, if the Chinese retaliate, then the United States is going to strike back with even more. So it didn't take long for Beijing to get the message, and they responded with, you know what? We're going to start our own new tariffs. We're going to have 25% tariffs on a bunch of U.S. goods totaling $50 billion. And this is the official beginning of the U.S.-China trade war. Now, trade wars are not as reviled as conventional wars, and for good reason. You know, there's a lot less blood involved, and people don't actually die horrific deaths on a battlefield. However, don't take it lightly. Trade wars begin and often end up as conventional wars if they're not resolved in a timely and reasonable fashion. I'm not saying that's where we're going. We're not starting World War III with China. However, you know what happens when you have a trade deficit? I'm not necessarily as critical of trade deficits as a lot of other people here on the radio, including the station. But we are buying far more from China than they are from us, right? That's where the trade deficit comes from. So as far as this retaliatory tariffs, there's only so much China can do to strike back. This is one of these trade wars where, because China has been already acting like they're in a trade war in the past and we've just been eating it with their huge tariffs like so many other countries do to us, we're going to get to the point where we're like, well, we're not going to buy billions and billions of stuff from you. And then China is going to respond, well, we're not going to buy billions and billions of stuff from you. At some point, China's going to run out of stuff to refuse to buy from us because they don't buy that much from us. And we're still going to be able to inflict more pain on them with absolutely no retaliation possible from the Chinese. However, if it gets to that, there are going to be some serious shockwaves to the global economy, including ours. And it's going to hit really specific industries. So this is one of these instances where, well, what do you do? How can you prepare yourself for the infancy of this trade war between one of the biggest trading partners we have? One thing you can do, diversify. You know, if you watch this closely, you're going to see single stocks are going to take the biggest hit of this. Why? Well, because if you have one of the companies that the tariffs hits, that stock's going to take a big hit. Conversely, there's going to be other stocks that are on, like if you have U.S. Steel, you know, they're on the good end of some of these tariffs. This is not good for the consumers, but this is going to be really good and really bad for some of our companies here in America too. Don't play the guessing game. Go broad. You know, that's why a lot of people like indexing out. They get those indexed ETFs. That's why a lot of people smatter their investments across several sectors, large caps, small caps, medium caps, long-term, short-term, all kinds. And if that still you don't have the stomach for it, go to safety. You can go to cash, or if you still want to build on it, get some fixed products. Get an annuity. Get a fixed annuity. It's not going to go down. You can have it at a set rate, or you can have it indexed to one of the markets here. But safety can be had even in the midst of a trade war. There's going to be a lot of pain out there, but you do not have to participate in it. And you're going to see a lot of people just taking punches and be like, well, no, I'm just going to ride this out. I'm thinking long term. I'm thinking about the future, you know, 20 years ahead. No, just get out. Don't take their punches now. But if you want someone to help guide you through this, you want a Sherpa? Gregory Ricks and Associates is where I recommend you start. Go check them out, gregoryricks.com. Or get the Winning at Life app. We have a Gregory Ricks Live that's coming up. So if you're thinking about coming on board, your financial first date with Gregory may be on July 10th. That's a Tuesday, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's, Chris, and Metairie. If you want to RSVP on that one, gregoryricks.com, or call his office, 504-832-9200. Coming up on tomorrow's show, Jude Heath, the CPA of the Total Wealth Authority, will be in studio. And he's going to give a tax take on what has been the hot topic of the last couple of weeks. And that's for people with rental property. And that's for people who are doing other things with their property, like putting their home in a trust. What are the tax implications of all that? What are the tax advantages of the LLC or a trust or keeping it in your own name? We'll cover all that tomorrow. In the meantime, you're home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.